Fine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 13. Lord Brahma is stealing the calves and cowherd boys. And as we've heard many times, this is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on before leaving us in 1977. Today's text is 37, yes? Yes. Kayam va kuta ayata daivi va nari utasuri prayo mayastu me bhartur nanya me pi pimohini. So this verse is a nice exercise in distinguishing between short A's and long A's. Sometimes we really mess that up. We just do whatever we feel like. So today, really concentrate. When there's an A with the diacritic, it's a long A. So, Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va nari uttasari. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va naryuta suri. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va naryuta suri. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Please chant. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va naryuta suri. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Daiviva naryatasari. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daiviva naryatasari. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va naryuta sri. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Vaishnavis. Keyang va kuta ayata. Daivi va naryuta sri. Prayo mayas to me partur. Nanya me pivi mohini. Mm-hmm. Okay, synonyms. Kaha. Who. Iyam. This. Va. Or. Kutaha. From where. Ayata. Has come. Daivi. Whether demigod. Va. Or. Nari. Woman. Uta. Or. Asri, demoness, prayaha, in most cases, maya, illusory energy, astu, she must be, me, my, bhartahu, of the master, Lord Krishna, na, not, anya, any other, may, my, api, certainly, vimohini, bewilderer. So, who's speaking here? Are you sure? Is he speaking or is he just thinking? According to the previous verses, he's musing, he's thinking, he's not actually speaking. Okay. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Who is this mystic power and where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, or who else can bewilder me? Please repeat. Who is this mystic power? And where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Balaram was surprised. This extraordinary show of affection, he thought, was something mystical, performed either by the demigods or some wonderful man. Otherwise, how could this wonderful change take place? This maya might be some rakshasi maya, he thought. But how can Rakshasi Maya have any influence upon me? This is not possible. Therefore, it must be the Maya of Krishna. He thus concluded that the mystical change must have been caused by Krishna, whom Balaram considered his worshipable personality of Godhead. He thought, quote, it was arranged by Krishna, and even I could not check its mystic power, end quote. Thus, Balaram understood that all these boys and calves were only expansions of Krishna. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarne Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantakam Vandehang Shri Guru Shita Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishyavaksha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitaksha Hey Krishna, Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesh, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namaste, Taptakanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha, Kalpaturubhyasya, Kripa Sindhu Mevacha, Patitanang, Thavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Dityananda, Shri Adaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari, Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So not to stress too much, but the pronunciation is so important. Just like words that we pronounce every single day, we still get them wrong, like in the Panchatattva Mantra. Gadara. It's not really Gadara. It's really two words. There's Gada and Tara. Gada means club. And Dhara means holding up. So Gada Dhara is the holder of the club. Just like another name of Balaram is Hala Dhara. Hala is plow, or plowing a field. And Dhara means the holder. So Balaram is Hala Dhara, the holder of the plow. And there's Gada Dhara, the holder of the Gada, the club. It's not Gada Dhara. So we should always look carefully to see where those accent marks are, whether it's a long I or a short I, a long A or a short A. And it makes a difference. Again, the classical bad mistake you can make is with the word Rama and Rama. Rama is Lord Ramachandra. Rama is the goddess of fortune. So if you approach Lord Ramachandra and call him Rama, very bad mistake. And vice versa, if you approach the goddess of fortune, Rama, and call her Rama, again, a very bad mistake. So just that one difference. It's R-A-M-A in both cases. But just one difference of which A is long. When the first A is long, it's Rama. It's Rama, sorry. Lord Ramachandra. When the last A is long, it's Rama, the goddess of fortune. So we should just try as we go along. So this verse and this incident that Lord Balaram is musing about is a very pointed example of the fact that it's not all one. You see, there are those who don't believe there's any spiritual existence. Everything material, reductionistic viewpoint. It's all coming from matter and everything is matter. But then there are those who think that, no, there's a spiritual reality beyond the material world, but they don't see any distinction. The monists, it's all one. It's all one spiritual reality. We're all from that spiritual reality. We're all just covered over. And when we are uncovered, we'll all merge into that spiritual reality. We're all equal in that regard. Everything's one. But no, it's not all one, as we see here. Prior to this incident, the parents, the cows, were relating to their offspring in a nice manner. They loved them. The elderly gopis, they loved their sons or daughters or offspring. The cows loved their offspring, whether it was a bull calf or a female calf, didn't matter. They loved them. But we see when Krishna replaced them with himself, how the attraction increased. So it's not all one. It's not that all souls are equal and we're all equal and we're all equal to Krishna. Yes, we're all equal as jivas, potentially. But we see, and again, in this world, that we don't exhibit that potential equally. So when a pure soul comes into this world, like Srila Prabhupada, exhibits the full potential of the jiva, we're attracted. We're attracted. The purity, original purity, is there. Originally, every one of us is pure. It's not that, and we had a discussion recently that, it was Ramachandra who raised that point, that in some religious traditions they think the soul is contaminated and dirty and, no, never. Oil and water don't mix. Spirit and matter don't mix. So the soul is, jiva soul, is always pure. But in the material condition, covered by the modes of nature, and therefore appears to be impure. So because we are under different degrees of covering, on that level we can't say we're equal. So when a pure devotee comes, we cannot treat the pure devotee the way we do some ordinary living entity. Even though we know that all living entities, all jivas are part and parcel of Krishna, by nature pure, we don't approach a tiger the same way we approach somebody in the ashram. We don't make that mistake, or we shouldn't make that mistake. Sometimes in an intoxicated state, people make that mistake. There was a couple of years ago, a famous case. Two drunk young men in Bangalore, I think it was. They were in their intoxicated state. They went to the local zoo and they scaled the fence and went into the pen with a tiger. Tiger's name was Shiva. So, the way the story is related, Shiva just sat there until they came right in front of him, and then he grabbed one, and then the other one, in his drunken state, thought he would save his friend. He started beating the tiger, so the tiger let go of that one and obliged him and grabbed him and killed him. Meanwhile, the other one somehow was able to escape. So we can't make that mistake. We can't have this idea that it's all one. A tiger is the same as a human being, is the same as a tree. Or you make that mistake, you could lose your life. Philosophically, we have to understand that there is also difference. Achintya Bheda Abheda. Giriraj Maharaj tells a story of when he was a young devotee in Boston. He was out preaching and he approached some young man who had this monistic idea that it's all one. So Maharaj, Brahmachari at the time, Giriraj Das Brahmachari, was very intelligent. He said, okay, so if it's all one, what's yours is mine. And the boy had to agree, yes, it's all one, what's mine is yours. He said, okay, give me your wallet. So he took his wallet, took all the money and gave him back the wallet. And when he went back to the temple, and Prabhupada happened to be there in Boston at the time, he told him what happened. And Prabhupada laughed and said, yeah, you got him. So again, this incident is proving that it's not all one. Even though pure devotees, they see all living entities equally, Vidyavinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihasani Sunichaiva Sapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. If we're actually pundits, actually pure in our vision, we see everybody equally, but we don't make that mistake. We see Haridas Thakur was living in a cave comfortably with a huge snake, chanting his japa every day, not minding the snake, minding his own. But he wasn't preaching to him. He's a snake. He preached to the humans that came to see him. They revered him as a saint. They would come to his cave. And after some time, they begged him because they were afraid of the snake. Please go somewhere else. We're afraid of the snake. But the super soul was in the heart of the snake and ordered the snake to leave. So the snake left the cave and Haridas stayed there. So again, even the pure devotees, Prabhupada didn't waste his time preaching at the zoo. You see, he went to Tompkins Square Park and chanted Hare Krishna and attracted human beings. So let's not fall into that. You know, there are a lot of Mayavadis, some of them even chant Hare Krishna, and they become very popular as chanters of Hare Krishna, but they have this monistic idea, this not even pure monism. Because a pure monist, when they come in contact with Krishna, they become attracted, like Shukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami was first exhibited this monistic tendency. He was so afraid of Krishna's Maya. He didn't want to come out of his mother's womb. He stayed there for a long time. Krishna had to come personally and convince him. So there's a verse that describes Sukadeva Goswami's mentality at the time. Sahaputra Mahayogi. He was a great yogi. Sahaputra, the son of Vyasadeva. He was seeing everything equally. But we see when he was going towards where Prichit Maharaj was waiting for his arrival, along the way, all these women, children on the street were making fun of him. Why? He was traveling naked. And he looked like a foolish person. Sahaputra Mahagin Samadrin Nirvikalpakai Ekantamati Unidro Guda Muda Ivayate. Because he was acting in this way as being stunted, foolish, they were making fun of him. They followed him all the way. But when he got to the banks of the Ganges where Prishu was waiting, and then all these children and women who were making fun of him, when they saw all these great saintly people stand up to receive him, they were bewildered. They ran away. So the pure devotee doesn't necessarily show their purity. They don't make a show of it. It would have been foolish for him to preach to these kids and people on the street who were making fun of him. So he just ignored them and acted like he was foolish. But when he came to the place where the proper audience was assembled, then he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not all one. It's not all one. It's very easy to be attracted by that because we're here to pose ourselves as being equal to God, to being equal to Krishna. And we see Krishna's first expansion, Balaram, he has this mood of servitorship. My Lord Krishna. He's saying, my Lord Krishna, bar to who? Right? In the verse, bar to who? He's my Lord. He's my worship of the Lord. And also, we see Balaram, in analyzing the situation, he comes to the conclusion that ultimately it's Krishna. So that's the conclusion we should come to also. And it's the conclusion that Lord Brahma came to. We don't have the other chapters, but at least in his fifth chapter of his treatise, Brahma Sangita, very first verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchirananda Vigraha anadir adir govinda sarva karana karanam. Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes. So Balaram is also coming to that conclusion. Is it a demoness? Nah. No demoness can bewilder me. No type of Maya can bewilder me. Must be Krishna. However, again, philosophically we have to understand that just because Krishna is sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes, we can't blame him for our problems. That's our tendency. As conditioned souls, we like to look around for somebody to blame if things aren't going right. I want to achieve this goal. I'm being impeded in some way. Somebody's fault. Whose fault is it? I want to be happy in this world. My happiness is being interrupted constantly. Somebody's fault. Whose fault is it? Ah, God, Krishna is the cause of all causes. Must be his fault. Okay, I'll give you a chance to rectify it, Mr. God. I want this, 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 and that, and that, 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 and that. Okay, so prove yourself to me. That's the wrong approach. The Prabhupada reminded us repeatedly, God is not your order supplier. Don't approach him constantly with your list of things that you want him to do for you. Rather, you should submit yourself and ask, my dear Lord, what would you like me to do? This is the proper attitude. What would you like me to do? Not even that I have this talent, that talent, you know, engage me in that way or else. No, even that is wrong. What do you want me to do? And therefore we see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta suggested that when they first come, make them surrender to some menial service to Krishna, no matter who they are. And there's a story from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Leela in lifetime of this big scholar who came to see him. And the brahmacharis, they respected him and they brought him to Guru Maharaj and introduced him. And the man said, Guru Maharaj, he was a respectful person, scholarly but respectful. I have these questions that I'd like to ask you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I'm kind of busy right now, but my brahmacharis will engage you for some time, and then when I'm ready, you can come back. So they did. They took him to some spot where they gave him the Didi brass to polish, and for hours he was polishing the Didi brass. And then finally he came back, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, okay, so what is your question? He said, my questions have been answered. Just by doing some menial service for the deity, his answers came to his mind and he didn't have any questions anymore. So this is the process. Now that we put ourselves forward, our real identity, as Lord Balaram is showing, he is Krishna himself, expansion of Krishna, just the difference in complexion and dress, as we've heard. But his mood is one of service to Krishna. Always, not just in this incident. As Krishna expands into his different forms through Balaram, then Balaram also expands to serve Krishna in a variety of ways. So this is our ultimate reality. This is our ultimate identity, is as servitors of Krishna. All other identities, we have to put them aside. They're called upadis, designations that we have to get rid of. If I'm walking around thinking that I'm a Latina devotee, or a black devotee, or a white devotee, or a young devotee, or an old devotee, that's still not right. We haven't come to the conclusion yet, the right conclusion. We're just meant to think of ourselves as devoted servants of Krishna. And that service should be rendered favorably, without any interruption, and under guidance always. There's never a time when we're going to be completely independent to serve Krishna. That doesn't happen. Service to Krishna is always under guidance. Even when we go back to the spiritual world, there are teams that are headed by different devotees and you become part of that. So if we're thinking, yes, I don't mind serving, but I want to do it this way, my way, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do, then we're still not in the right frame of mind. Because we always have to accept guidance. Now, while we're in a conditioned state, we're in a society like this, international society, we may wonder, well, you know, I don't see this leader who's telling me what to do as being a pure devotee, so why should I follow that person? But ultimately, again, Krishna's behind everything. Krishna's in control of everything. One of the last things Prabhupada said before leaving, Krishna's in complete control, that is Krishna consciousness. So we should think, even if my department head, I don't see him or her as a pure devotee, still behind the whole scene is Krishna. So if I'm accepting a request for service that doesn't go against the principles that we're supposed to follow, why would I object? In other words, if I'm washing pots and I feel very comfortable washing pots, but the word comes down that the administration would like me to go out and try book distribution. Why would I object to that? Just go out and do it. Take it that it's coming from Krishna. Or vice versa, as happened many times. I'm a big book distributor, doing very well, but the call comes, I want you to manage your temple. Nah, I don't want it. We want you to manage this temple. Surrender to it. You have to take it. This is what Krishna wants. Sometimes it comes in the form of a direct order, and sometimes Prabhupada would give the devotee the opportunity to do the right thing. There was one case where Prabhupada wanted one devotee to stay in one service and the devotee wanted to go do something else. And there was discussion. In the end, Prabhupada said, well, this is what I know. So some of the devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't you order him to do it? Why didn't you give him an order? Prabhupada said, because if I give an order and the disciple doesn't do it, then it's a great offense. So Prabhupada would quite often leave the door a little open so you can understand his mind, understand his desire, and do the right thing, or, you know, take the out if you want. So ultimately, this is the mood of the devotee, not just to serve, but to serve favorably and do what the master wants. We cannot jump over the disciplic succession to Krishna. We have to go through the disciplic succession to Krishna. Prabhupada made that point very, very clear. Don't jump over. So we have to take understanding again that Krishna is in complete control. So if I'm surrendering to Krishna, I'm trying to surrender to Krishna, why would Krishna mislead me in any way? So on a moment-to-moment basis, our concentration should be on how to sincerely surrender and engage in service to Krishna. Now today we have the disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhushan, extremely important personality in our Vaishnava line. Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhushan. If you look on the dedication page, it says, I'm dedicating this to Baladev Vidyabhushan, who so very nicely gave the Govinda Bhashya commentary on the Vedanta philosophy. So Baladev Vidyabhushan is extremely important. A long story. We don't have time to tell the whole story, but we know that the original deities were in Vrindavan. Govindaji, Gopinath. But because of the attack of the Muslims, they were moved to Jaipur. So in the worship of Govindaji, there were these three Vaishnavas who did not respect so much the Bengali Vaishnavas. Again, designation. We are three Vaishnavas and you are Bengali Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas. Prabhupada made that clear. And there's that verse that says it also. How does it start? Riga, what is that verse? Sheila Dean, how does it start? Yeah. Arche Vishnu Shivani, Guru Narmatir, Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. If you think of a Vaishnava in terms of their jati, their birth, from South Africa or New York or wherever, that's an offense. It's offensive. Vaishnava is Vaishnava. It doesn't matter where he or she comes from. So, but these three Vaishnavas who were involved in the worship of Govindaji, they said the Bengali Vaishnavas don't have any right to worship because they don't have any commentary on Vedanta. So this Baladev Vidyabhushan was requested to write commentary. Very long story, but to make it short, he did. He did just that. It's called the Govinda Bhashya, and it was accepted. Brilliant work. So the Sri Vaishnavas, they were trying to convince the king of at the time in Jaipur not to allow these Bengali Vaishnavas, but because Baladev Vidyabhushan came through with his brilliant commentary, then they were allowed to continue that worship. So, Prabhupada refers to him repeatedly in his books. There's just one specific comment that I wanted to read if I can get this thing to start up again. It's in the purport to the 42nd verse of the 10th chapter. All of you should know because this is Krishna summarizing after it's explained that of, you know, fishes of the, I'm the shark of trees, I'm the banyan tree, you know, given all these. And he says, Atava bahunaitena, kim gatena tavarjana, vistabhyaham idam kritsnam, ekang sena stito jagat. But what need is there, O Arjuna, of all this detailed knowledge? Just one fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So in that purport, if I can find this quickly, because Prabhupada refers nicely to Baladeva Vidibhusha there. So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 42. Yes, so at the very end of that purport, Prabhupada recites one verse. He says, Srila Baladeva Vidibhusha, a great acharya in the cyclic succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary on this chapter by saying, Yat shakchileshasuradya bhavachatugatejasaha Yat angshena jitang vishvam sa krishno dashamerchate. And the translation is, from Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And we know, in the sun, along with the sun god, there is a Narayana form, referred to as Surya Narayana. Surya Narayana, he is the actual source of the unlimited energy of the sun. Scientists can't explain. The sun has been burning for millions of years. Normally our experience is if something burns, it burns into nothing and it's gone. We don't have experience of some material thing that just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning unlimitedly. So that's the sun, and that energy is coming from Narayana. So he says, from Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is worshipable. This is Baladeva Vidibhushana's conclusion. So today is also Ganga Puja. The people who are not in tune with the Vedic reality, they think this is animism, Shintoism, worshipping nature, you know, when people worship the Ganges. But no, the Ganges is worshipable because it is coming from the spiritual world. When Lord Brahmadeva expanded his footsteps, he pierced the coverings of the universe, and this water from the causal ocean is coming in. This is spiritual water, the Ganges. So by taking bath in the Ganges, one gradually purifies oneself and becomes qualified to go back to the spiritual world. But it takes some time. But still, even the Vaishnavas worship the Ganges. We know Kolavet Sridhar was a great devotee, great follower of Lord Chaitanya. He was selling his banana leaf products, making a very meager income, but he was taking 50% of that meager income to worship Mother Ganges every day. So it shows that the worship of the Ganges is not just some afterthought. It's actually important. Generally, how does one worship the Ganges? By offering the water of the Ganges back to the Ganges. And there's some lamp is there also, just like doing arti. But generally speaking, one takes water from the Ganges and pours it back into the Ganges to worship her. So this Ganga Puja, generally we don't make a big deal of it in our temples, but it's legitimate, as I've just said. Even great Vaishnavas worship the Ganges. And then it's also the appearance of Ganga Mata Goswamini. And very, very unique individual in our Vaishnava history. She appeared as a princess in Bengal, but from her very birth, practically, she was just into worshipping Krishna, not interested in anything else. Didn't want to marry, even. After her father's demise, she ruled his kingdom for some time, which is also eye-opening, because generally speaking, the Vedic line is patrilinear, but sometimes if there is no male offspring, the female offspring would take charge of a kingdom. I mean, there's kingdoms and then there's kingdom. Kingdom doesn't mean she was ruling like the whole world, obviously. You know, they're in India still, you know, you have your little segments. So one can be a ruler of a village or of a area, a couple of villages, or bigger state, like, you know, Pataparuja Maharaj was the king of Orissa. That state. Or one can be the ruler of India, or one can be like Parikshit Maharaj, emperor of the entire world. So she wasn't on that level, but still, it's not common for a woman to take in that time to become the ruler of any area. So she was ruling her father's kingdom for some time. But because of her attachment to Vaishnava practices, simply worshipping, hearing, chanting, she left and she went to Vrindavan and became famous as an ascetic, just barely eating enough to keep body and soul together. Eventually, on recommendation of a great soul, she went to Puri. She went to the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had already left, as did, had most of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. She renovated his place, and on a daily basis she was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, and she was so learned and erudite that even the king of Orissa and a lot of great personalities of the time, they came and took initiation from her. So how did she get this name, Gangamata Goswamini? It was not her original name. Well, one night during the Ganga Sagara Mela, the Ganges came to her ashram and picked her up and deposited her at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, which was a miracle because the temple was closed at the time. So the next morning when they opened the temple and they saw her there, they thought, she must be a thief. Otherwise, how did she get in? The temple was locked up. So they arrested her. But Lord Jagannath appeared in a dream to the king and to the head pujari and others and told him, no, this is a very great offense. She's a great soul. So ever since then, she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. So we'll stop here. Maybe there's a minute or two if there are any questions or comments. Parividha Prabhu. Give him the microphone, please, so the internet can hear.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class.
Hare.
I was wondering, how is it possible that the author of this book knows what Lord Balaram is thinking? How is that also revealed to him?
Excellent question. I was wondering that myself. But the knowledge that we have, again, is coming down in the cyclic succession. So Srila Prabhupada is writing his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says that Lord Balaram thought. So this knowledge must have been handed. How? Obviously Krishna. Everything ultimately comes from Krishna. Krishna revealed the Vedic knowledge in the heart of Brahma. Brahma repeated it for Narada, and then this way it comes down. So Krishna can reveal what he's thinking to anyone and everyone if he wants to. So some or other along the line, either Krishna or Balaram or both reveal this whole, because only Krishna and Balaram were there. Of course, the coward boys eventually, when they were brought back, but even they didn't know because they were off somewhere else. So ultimately, you could say only Krishna and Balaram knew this pastime took place. Lord Brahma, he was bewildered. Even he didn't exactly know what happened. But so he was the third party to it. But ultimately, Krishna and Balaram. So the fact that we know anything of this pastime at all means they revealed it. They revealed it. And so in that revelation, Lord Balaram is free to reveal what he was thinking. And he may have gone back afterwards and spoken to others at that point. But at this point, he's just thinking it. Later on, when he went back to the village, he may have said eventually after that year passed, look at Krishna, he did it. He bewildered me for a year. Like that. He could have spoken it. But at this point, he's just thinking it. And he must have revealed it somehow that it came down in our package of knowledge that we're getting in our disciplic succession.
You were mentioning about pronunciation, and I hear many older devotees, they still sing Paskacha instead of Paschacha, like Chaitanya. And I hear sometimes Srimati Bhaktivedanta, but Srimati is feminine, it's Srimate.
Yes.
It's very important, just like in this song we sing.
We had Dravida here recently going over a lot of these mispronunciations and trying to set it right. But, there's habit, people become habituated to saying things a certain way, and it's just hard to get them to change. Even when you point it out to them, it's hard for them to change.
But in that song we sing every morning, Asura Kula Nasa, if they Sura, then it's the slayer of the demigods, exactly opposite.
It's Asura.
Asura
Kula means the place where the Asuras live. Yeah. And Nashana means he's destroying. Yeah. So Asura Kula Nashana means the destroyer of the place where the demons live.
Yeah. But if they don't pronounce the ah, then it's Sura Kulanasana, and it's the slayer of the demigods. Well,
yeah. Anything else? Yes, one more. We'll take, and then we'll. Anything else we can take outside?
Very nice, instructive class. Thank you. When Mayavadi, when they merged to inner existence of Krishna, so I'm just wondering what kind of feeling or thoughts they have in their minds, because we know they are actually envious of Krishna, but probably they don't want to admit that they are envious. So what is this state of mind?
When you merge into the Brahma Jyoti, you're experiencing the eternality aspect, Sat, the eternality aspect. But there's no Ananda for sure, and there's incomplete Shiv. That's why we have that verse, Yena Ravindakshava Bhuktamani Nastoya Sabhavat of Vishuddha Buddhaya. Their intelligence is not pure. So they have knowledge, but it's not complete, not pure. The spirit soul is by nature active. We see here in Vrindavan, everybody's active at every moment. They're driving the cows to the forest, they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're dressing, they're not a moment inactive. So when we artificially try to be inactive, like these Maya bodies do when they merge into so-called merge into Brahman, there's some activity. And therefore, eventually, ultimately, as Prabhupada said, they come down again and they have to be active. They open schools, hospitals, whatever. Because they've not taken shelter or they have no regard. Anadrita yusmat angraya. They don't have any regard for the lotus feet of Krishna, which means ultimately devotional service. They don't have any regard for serving Krishna. Therefore, they have to come back and be active in something mundane. Politics, you know, mundane philanthropy, etc.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that they are envious of Krishna, but they themselves, they don't feel like that? Even when they merge in the existence of Krishna, did they feel this envy to Krishna?
Again, there are different levels of this monism. That's why I started out. Somebody who's actually an innocent monist, like the four Kumaras, like Shukadeva Goswami, when they come in contact with bhakti, with Krishna, devotional service, they take to it. So that's the test. If somebody's a monist, they're seeing everything equally, and they come in contact with bhakti, devotional, and they don't take to it, that means they're envious. And such so-called monists should be avoided.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai.